A very warm welcome to blog number 50. Come on. Which, of course, I'm accepting all congratulations and well wishes, so feel free to send them across. No, only joking. Side note, I have got a bit of man flu today. So any coughing, sniffling, spluttering, sneezing, or the likes, just ignore, because I can't imagine that I'll be overly bothered to edit them out. That aside, let's crack on. Blog number 50, the one thing I know about happiness. Which, actually, side note again, before we get started, we do actually cover more than one thing, but it felt like a fairly catchy title. Anyway, right, let's start. Blog number 50. And with it being blog number 50, I thought we could chat about a fairly hefty subject, happiness. Or at least a tiny element. Or at least a tiny element of what is a far too vast, complex, and nuanced topic to cover in 5 minutes. Being content with life is something that I imagine most of us want. It's often the leading metric for evaluating our and other people's lives. We've all done it, right? We see someone who's rich, or in shape, or supposedly thriving in life, and we ask, well, are they happy? Though it's rare that we see someone who's happy and ask, well, are they rich? All other life metrics pretty much dissipate if someone's genuinely having a good time. I'm sure we've all heard the stories of those isolated tribes in some remote place in the Amazon or the likes, who essentially have nothing but report huge levels of life satisfaction. In contrast, we look on with envy as despite, or maybe because of, having way more stuff than these people, we tend to be far less content. Feeling content is a strange one, as it's something that individually only we really know if we are or not. It's fairly easy to see someone, to see if someone is physically fit or smashing it professionally or doing well financially or whatever it may be, but it's hard to tell how they're genuinely feeling. And the framework that we often use to assess this, Instagram, doesn't tend to be the most reliable of evaluation methods. If anything, as social media can be the main window through which most people we know see our lives, it can be tempting to prioritize giving off the impression that we're all good over actually genuinely being so, and how counterproductive that can be. The whole, it doesn't really matter if my life sucks as long as it looks good on Instagram, is kind of like the modern day equivalent of the sad clown paradox, i.e. the seemingly contradictory link between humour and mental struggles. It can often be the people we least expect who are the ones who struggle the most. A long and deep enough conversation with such people is usually evidence of that. Though any depressive predispositions aside, more broadly, struggle and extended periods of sadness just seem to be part of the parcel of being a human. As a completely theoretical case to demonstrate that point, let's take the hypothetically most lucky and healthiest person in the world. To go on a slightly blunt and slightly morbid note for a second, everyone around this hypothetical person is eventually going to go through a host of traumatic events, get ill, and die. Sorry. So even if someone does hit the genetic, circumstantial, and general life jackpot, their life is going to be fucked for large parts anyway. Diving deeper into a more day-to-day point of view, ask the luckiest person in the world, let's say they had the best life set up across the board, whatever it is, you name it, they have it. The best job, best relationships, the best hobbies, the best health, the lot. Well, their life would still be a bit of a mission, as the better those things are, the harder, and therefore often more stressful, they can be to maintain. I imagine this is probably something that we can all resonate with to some degree. The better we get at something, the more effort we need to put in to sustain it. I think this principle applies to all areas of life, from our careers to our hobbies and from our fitness to wider life skills, whatever that might be. And just an example to demonstrate a wider principle, a wider point, let's take a 5 kilometer run. It's something a lot of us did during lockdown, so a good reference point. It's not that we run a sub 20 minute 5K and then suddenly we've completed running. If anything, that's the easy bit. The maintenance of that level is where the real slog begins, and it only ever seems to be maintained from the rather unglamorous grind of turning up day in, day out, and putting a shift in. We don't just reach the promised land of a goal that we said would make us happy and achieve eternal bliss, unfortunately. We get there, and after a momentary spike, we just have to go again. And I think it's in this point where we find one of life's greatest illusions. Once I do X, then I'll be happy. You know the type of stuff. X more on my salary and I'll be happy. X more kilos lost and I'll be happy. X more followers or likes and I'll be happy. And as I'm sure we've all experienced, it doesn't tend to work out like that. We've all achieved things in life that we said would make us happy. Though we do get achieve X, and it's obviously great, but then X simply changes. We adapt to our new circumstances, and before we know it, or upload it to Strava, we want more. What once seemed impressive to our former selves now just becomes a new benchmark. Analogously, it's almost like saying, once I take a shower, I'll be clean forever. Obviously, we will be for a bit, but it won't be long until we're minging again. Perhaps this constant moving of the goalposts, or the shower curtains, is a good thing. It keeps us moving forward. And also, it's slightly tragic when we hear someone repeatedly boast about past glories. Which, on a completely unrelated side note, did I tell you that I ran the London Marathon a couple of years ago? No. If these goalposts are always moving and we've constantly got our eyes on the next thing, I suppose there's a pretty obvious reflection here. Can we enjoy doing the thing as opposed to just having or achieving the thing? As we spend the vast majority of our lives in that first bit, doing, I imagine it's probably good if we can manage to find a degree of enjoyment in it. I guess it's Arthur Conan Doyle's idea that the work is its own reward. Or, dare we bring it up, the whole journey versus no, I can't bring myself to say it. This approach doesn't just logically make sense, but the science behind it is fairly sound and fairly simple too, which is good. A simple science is basically the only science I understand. In short, where did I hear this? I think it was Sam Harris on Modern Wisdom. There's a link to the reference paper anyway in the blog. Our dopaminergic system, I thought I was gonna get that word wrong, but I think I nailed it. Did I? Probably not. But anyway, our dopamine system anyway gets driven not by pleasure itself, but by the expectation of pleasure. This is why the thought of something can often be better than the actual thing. For example, I've experienced this many times, but for example, let's take a weekend where we have no plans. In the week leading up to that weekend, we can build it up to be this utopian chill fest. Oh, I can't wait for the weekend. It's going to be so relaxing. And it obviously can be the case, but often we can get to the weekend and instead of it being the relaxathon 4000s that we had anticipated, we can actually just end up a bit bored and lonely and irritable and all those sorts of things. Not quite as relaxing as we'd anticipated. And our dopamine signaling drops accordingly. As Dr. Robert Sapolsky says, dopamine is not about the pursuit of happiness, it's about the happiness of pursuit. Nice. As someone who's prone to feeling a bit sad, I thought it was apt to celebrate hitting blog 50 by reflecting on a few of life's emotional trappings. Obviously, this is by no stretch an exhaustive list, but I have found a couple of the points above, obviously not above or previously that I said, to have been pretty useful when it comes to offsetting some of that annoyingly frequently occurring negative emotion. A big thank you, not for reading, but for listening, and here is to the next 50 posts. Cheers, guys.